Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
Blessed be the fruit who lowered himself to our famished state. Blessed be the good one who suddenly enriched our necessitousness and supplied our needs. Blessed he whose tender mercies made him condescend to visit our infirmities. Blessed he who sealed our soul and adorned it and espoused it to himself. Blessed he who made our body a tabernacle for his nature unseen. Blessed he who by our tongue interpreted his secret things. Let us praise that voice whose glory is hymned with our lute, his virtues with our harp. The Gentiles have assembled and have come to hear his strains. Blessed be he whom our mouth cannot adequately praise, because his gift is too great for the skill of orators to tell. Neither can the faculties adequately praise his goodness, for praise him as we may, it is simply too little. And since it is useless to be silent and to constrain ourselves, may our feebleness excuse such praise as we can sing. That hymn drawn from the second homily on the Nativity of Christ by the 4th century Syriac deacon, St. Ephrem the Syrian. We come, as we do this time each year, to that feast of the Incarnation, the Nativity according to the flesh of our Lord and God and Saviour Jesus Christ. We come in the Orthodox Church to this feast through the gateway of a fast, as we do to all the great moments in our liturgical year. Only through the fast, only through a period of anticipation, expectation, purification, do we come to see the Nativity in its full and true joy. We are constantly told by the world, in so many ways, to find joy in Christmas time, to find happiness in the Nativity. And yet so often the happiness engaged in, the joy encountered, is of an utterly superficial sort, a mere emotionalism, a happiness similar to that we might feel for any number of trivial worldly things. But the Nativity of the Christ, the Nativity of the Messiah, is an experience unlike any other, and the joy to accompany it in the heart of the Christian is a joy unlike any other. Here we taste the first tastes of paschal joy, and we encounter in a manger the pre-eternal God who will be raised for our salvation. Only through a fast, through a period of honest engagement in our spiritual life, can we hope to find the joy that elevated St. Ephrem to the heights of song, as we have just heard. All the angels hymn him, all the orators praise him, and yet, St. Ephrem says, their words are always inadequate, always too few. We have come to the first Nativity season of our broadcasts here at A Word from the Holy Fathers, and I gave some thought to what we might reflect upon for this first Nativity broadcast, but it seems fitting, after a period of intense fasting and preparation, such as that through which we have all been struggling together in the Church, simply to hear, unadulterated, the words of the Holy Fathers on this great feast, this feast of the Incarnation, which brings into human life the true life of all. So, rather than offer a sustained reflection on a text from the Fathers or a selection of passages, this week I would like simply to read a selection of texts drawn from the Fathers and from the liturgical hymnography of the Church, which bring into relief for us the joy to be experienced in this mysterious Incarnation. I began today with a reading from the second homily on the Nativity by Saint Ephrem, and I continue with a reading from the 5th century homily on the Nativity by Saint Leo the Great, Pope of Rome, one of the chief voices in the Christological discussions of his century, and memorable to us even now as the only Latin Western writer to have a work canonized by the ecumenical councils. In his first homily on the Nativity, Saint Leo writes the following: "Dearly beloved, today our Saviour is born, let us rejoice. Sadness should have no place on the birthday of life. The fear of death has been swallowed up. Life brings us joy with the promise of eternal happiness. No one is shut out from this joy. All share the same reason for rejoicing. Our Lord, victor over sin and death, finding no man free from sin, came to free us all. Let the saint rejoice as he sees the palm of victory at hand. Let the sinner too be glad as he receives the offer of forgiveness. Let the pagan take courage, for he too is summoned to life. In the fullness of time, chosen in the unfathomable depths of God's wisdom, the Son of God took for himself our common humanity, in order that he might reconcile it with his Father. He came to overthrow the devil, the origin of death, in that very nature by which he had overthrown mankind. And so at the birth of our Lord the angels sing in joy, glory to God in the highest, and they proclaim peace to men of good will, as they see the heavenly Jerusalem being built from all the nations of the world. When the angels on high are so exultant at this marvelous work of God's greatness, what joy should it not bring to the lowly hearts of us men?" That text from the first homily on the Nativity by Saint Leo. As Saint Ephrem, so Saint Leo emphasizes the universality of Christ's incarnation. It is offered for all. Saint Ephrem notes that Gentiles have assembled and come to see his name. Saint Leo, as we've just heard, says the pagan too should take courage as he is summoned to life. The joy of the incarnation is the joy of all the world. This is the point drawn out by a theologian and writer a few centuries earlier than Saint Leo, namely Saint Gregory Thaumaturgus, Saint Gregory the Wonder Worker, Bishop of Neocaesarea in the 3rd century. From his homily on the Nativity: "On this great day, now being celebrated, God hath appeared to man, as pastor of the nation of Israel, who hath enlivened all the universe with his goodness. O dear warriors, glorious champions for mankind, who did preach Bethlehem as a place of theophany, and the nativity of the Son of God, who have made known to all the world the Lord of all, lying in a manger, and did point out God contained within a narrow cave." This from the first homily on the Nativity of Saint Gregory the Wonder Worker. All the warriors of Christ, the prophets, the patriarchs, the pastors, teachers of the church, have proclaimed this mystery that in a narrow cave the Son of God is born in the flesh for the whole human race. As always, it is not simply in the tracts, the studies, the official documents of the fathers that their theology comes down to us. But above all else, we encounter the fathers in the liturgy, in the worshipping life of the church. I have just read 3 homilies, or passages from 3 homilies by the fathers, delivered in the Eucharistic context of liturgical life. But the very fabric of the liturgy, the very fabric of the divine services themselves, is drawn from the patristic context of its history. At the Matins of the Nativity, we sing a canon composed by the 7th and 8th century hymnographer, Saint John of Damascus. In the fourth canticle of that canon, we encounter this text. Of old, Habakkuk the prophet was counted worthy to behold ineffably the figure and symbol of Christ's birth, and he foretold in song the renewal of mankind. For as a young babe, even the Word has now come forth from the mountain of the Virgin unto the renewal of all the peoples. The incarnation of Christ is the fulfillment of what the prophets have beheld since the beginning of time. Christ, the Word incarnate according to the flesh, renews the creation which he fashioned. Here St. John echoes the words of St. Leo, which we have already read. This renewal, this newness of life that the incarnation enables, is the cause of the joy hymned by St. Gregory, hymned by St. Ephrem. And we encounter it too in a brief hymn by Patriarch Germanos of Constantinople, writing in the 7th and 8th centuries. "No more shall women bear children in sorrow," he says, "for joy hath put forth her flower, and the life of men has come to dwell in the world." This is the very heart of the incarnational mystery. The life of humanity comes to dwell amongst men. In the incarnation, humanity is brought up to a newness of its own nature. As we hymn on the 20th of December, the four feasts of the Nativity, in a hymn at the Matins praises attributed to the 6th century Romanos the Melodist, "The Creator is come, raising up mankind from the earth, making his royal image new again. Rejoice together, ye hosts on high, and sing. The middle wall of enmity is broken down. He is come who has accomplished this, for God becometh man, the King of Israel." The King has come, the fashioner is made one of the fashioned, and the image is renewed in all creation. This is the true mystery, and with it the true joy of this nativity season. In the words of our fathers, in the hymns of the church, we encounter visions of this mystical reality that can bring to us a joy and an experience deeper than any of the superficialities of the world may ever offer. In this season of heightened commercialism, of heightened secularism, the writings of our saints, the hymns of the church, give us the vision and the sight to behold with our own eyes that mystery which makes all things new. Through the prayers of these holy fathers and of all the saints, Lord Jesus Christ our God, born according to the flesh in a manger, have mercy upon us and save us. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.